Hello, this is Kyle Jones. We are on a lengthy study on the word free. Today, we are covering the concept of free in contrast with the word frank, such as in, can I speak frankly or frankly speaking? Most of these words that we use in our common vernacular are overlooked and forgotten as to their origin, but they're just simply implemented into our daily speech patterns. There is a sharp contrast between the histories of the word frank and the word free. The social ethical meanings of free have vanished, but for frank, only the ethical meaning. And that, in a very narrowed sense, does still survive. Originally, frank meant a national name. It was a frank. Its legal, social, and ethical meaning were ultimately derived from the state of affairs in Gaul after the Frankish conquest. Any man you met would probably either be a frank, henceforth a conqueror, a warrior, and a landowner, or else a mere native, one of a subject race, which would be a Gaul. If the latter, he or she was typically a serf and an unfree peasant attached to an estate which had once been a Roman villa. He was, in fact, a villainous or villain. Frank and villain, or frons and villains, is the essential contrast. English villain could still be used in its literal sense by such old authors as Lancelot Andrews, as Lancelot quotes, "They be men and not beasts, free men and not villains," end quote. And we do see this as a quote, if you want to further this, in the sermon before the Queen of Lancelot Andrews on February 24th, 1590. But long before his time, it had been dwindled into a term of abuse, and finally into a term of mere, that is unspecified, abuse. Villain, which is a synonym for a bad man, useless except as a technical term in dramatic criticism, such as in Shakespeare's villains, we do find it as a convenient expression. The process was, of course, gradual, and it is not easy to be sure what stage of it represented by each occurrence of the word in the old texts. At first, its pejorative meaning was closely connected with its literal. The image of the actual villains or peasant was still operative. Peasants, since we abolished them, have in this country been so idealized that we may go as far astray about the old overtones of, quote, peasant, as about the ancient idea of the servile or servant character. We get an inkling of them when love, such as in the Romance of the Rose, says, quote, "No villain or butcher," end quote, has ever been allowed to kiss his lips. He goes on to say that the villain is brutal. He is pitiless, disobliging, and unfriendly. If you would avoid villainy, the peasant character, you must imitate the very courteous Gawain, not the surly Kai. Danger is later described as villains. He leaps suddenly from his hiding place, huge, dark, bristly, with blazing eyes, loud and violent. But if you notice that while the villains is still and I say villains in the terms of the old world villains, that's why it's singular, is still thus closely connected with the image of the actual peasant, it quite clearly refers to a psychological type, not to an actual rank. Love takes care to tell us that villainy makes the villains. Theoretically, one who was a villains by a status might not have had the vice of villainy. Certainly, many a man who is not a villains by status will be guilty of it. Churl itself, originally a status word, would be the nearest English equivalent to the old French villains in this sense, if it had not come to mean something of a laziness perception of the common peasant. And we can go further and say, particularly, that of a sullen and uncooperative character of the peasant, such as a boor, spelled B-O-O-R. And I would say that boor is perhaps now the best translation for such a villain. The noun villain is of doubtful occurrence in Chaucer, but vilain is common. The central area of its meaning is rudeness and bad manners. The knight never said vilain, spoke rudely to anyone. Chaucer hopes that his setting down the bawdy tales will not be counted against him as a villain. The young roisterers in the Pardoner's Tale are reproved for speaking villainy to an old man. By an easy transition, to dispraise or vilify anything is to speak villainy of it. The wife of Bath asks why one should speak villainy of bigamy, or of octogamy, or of Lameth, etc. Hence a shame or indignity done to anything like Creon's refusal to permit the burial of the enemy dead. It can be a villainy. We get nearer to a purely ethical sense when the wife of Bath, of Chaucer, argues that if nobility were really transmissible by heredity, then those of a good stock would never cease to practice gentleness or begin practicing villainy or vice. For now, we shall concur with our lesson, coming back only for more enjoyment for studying the richest language in the world, the English language, and again, the highest order of languages, in my opinion, the Hebrew and Greek as a combination to express God's Word. With all three in mind, we have endless joy in this life to find God's force in the etymology of the word. So, again, this is Kyle Jones. We are on a lengthy study on the word free.